So the theme for our readings this morning is clearly one in which we are encouraged to pray and not to give up. The case of the widow in the gospel reading, but also that of Jacob in the reading from Genesis. And it's to Jacob that I would like to turn first and particularly, recalling that Jacob had a story, a forecast of his life set before he was born. The older shall serve the younger, that is Esau, the firstborn shall serve Jacob, the secondborn. And then in the moment of birth, Esau is born and Jacob's hand has come out of the womb holding on to Esau's ankle. And so the meaning of Jacob is really he who grasps the heel, or he who deceives is kind of the cultural interpretation here of Jacob's life. And so his name, so as it is there in the beginning, so the story plays out then with Jacob taking Esau's birthright, Jacob deceiving his father with the blessing, the receiving of the blessing, putting on Esau's clothing and the goat skin on his arms and so on to make his father believe that he is in fact Esau, receives the blessing, and there the story of Jacob and Esau separates for virtually a generation, some 20 years, and Jacob runs off to meet ultimately his father-in-law Laban, where guess what? The story of deception continues. You recall that Laban had two daughters, Leah and Rachel, and Jacob was just, you know, overcome by Rachel, the younger, and pledges then to serve Laban for the 7 years requirement and come to the wedding night, but who does he find in the tent? But not Rachel, but Leah. And so Laban is kind of Jacob's match in this whole, you know, deceiving one another kind of business. And ultimately then, Jacob serves more time to receive, you know, Rachel than as his wife also. And during that time, Jacob is, his agreement was with Laban that he receives the blended, you know, the ones, the sheep, the goats with multiple colors, and Laban receives the pure, you know, white or black, you know, those go to Laban. You know, any geneticists in our group this morning, well, where are you more likely to have offspring, more spotted ones or more black or white? I mean, the limited knowledge I have is you're more likely to have the spot, the mixed ones, than the pure ones. But at any rate, that's the story. So Jacob places these branches with the bark stripped, thinking the folklore here is that as the sheep drink water with the bark stripped off the branches, they will be seeing this striped pattern, and then the offspring that they conceive will be, you know, striped or blended. But through all of this, Jacob has been working, you know, himself to be blessed, working the situation, trying to deceive, and the whole thing has been, if I am to be blessed in life, this is something that I must do, and I have to work mankind, my fellow people, humans, to facilitate my endowment. And so ultimately, through this pattern, then comes the moment of just too much tension, too many sheep between Jacob and Laban, and the departure. Again, not without conflict, but ultimately we come to the creek in which Jacob has sent his family, two wives and their maids, and 11 sons, and all of his possessions across to the other side, and Jacob remains. And so I ask you, can you think or imagine, who you are without anything, without any possessions, without any relation, without any connection, just you standing by yourself? Who are you? Put away your vocation, put away all of this kind of connectedness, but you just completely in isolation, all alone. Who are you? No props, just you. And there Jacob finds himself in this dark night of identity and struggle, and God meets him that night by the creek. God meets him through this man that allows Jacob to engage and wrestle with the tension back and forth. And I find myself this week, kind of thinking, what's the difference between wrestling with somebody and fighting with somebody? Because I think there is, a distinction in that I come to this, and I'm not familiar at all with, wrestling or fighting, but the sense I had was that in a fight, you're really seeking to harm the other person. You would like to damage them. You want to kind of vent your anger, your frustration, or what have you, but it comes to this sense of doing damage to the other. But in wrestling, I don't know, I think in good conscience, wrestlers don't, damage the other, but are really seeking this whole thing of overcoming a power, exertion, to control or to dominate the other. So Jacob, wrestling with God in this way, forcefully, through the night, the man, the angel, I'm not sure quite how to communicate that, but as dawn is approaching, says, "Let go of me, daylight is near," and Jacob insists, he holds on, "I will not let you go unless or until you bless me." So looking at Jacob's life, he has all kinds of material goods. He has sent over as gifts to his brother Esau literally hundreds upon hundreds of sheep and goats and camels. He has sent his wives and their sons. Any of you have 11 sons? He has all of these kind of signs of God's blessing. But he still is yearning, longing for internally this connection, this blessing of God. And so he clings to that effect. And it's in that moment that the angel, I'll just stick with that, the angel touches Jacob's hip, wrenches his hip in this way, and perpetually then Jacob walks with a limp from that day on. And I suggest to you that walking by faith includes this walking with a limp, this walking by faith, walking in brokenness in a way. Walking by faith means walking only with the help or the assistance, the strengthening of God himself. And so Jacob's name is changed that night. In the darkest moment of his life, His name is changed. No longer Jacob, the deceiving one, now Israel, the one who struggles with God, is the meaning of that name. Israel, the one who struggles with God and overcomes. So, from this moment and really the carrying out of Jacob's life in all of this, come a whole nation of people who know themselves by this name, those who struggle with God, Israelites. Would you know yourself by that name too? One who struggles with God. One who hangs on to God for blessing. Here's what's implied in the story of Jacob and that night. Just this potential. That without the wrestling, without the hanging on, without the insisting, I will not let go until you bless me. Potentially, something from God that is left on the table, not received by Jacob. Potentially, God has something for us that without our willingness to wrestle with him, to struggle, to hold on, to persist in faith, may be left on the table. How would you feel about that? You know, the great moment in Jacob's life, the great moment for a whole people by which they will be named, left on the table because I didn't have the fortitude. I gave up long ago, imagining that God would hear, that God would intervene in my life in some particular way. I, after all, seemed quite successful, couldn't you see? All those sheep and all those goats and all those kids. And yet, in all of this outside here, there remains a vacancy and a void inside the soul of Jacob. And for this, he wrestles with God to receive the blessing of God upon his life. And in the wrestling, through the wrestling, the blessing comes. The transformation from being a deceiving, self-seeking, you know, all about me, what I can gather, now to reading this blessed of God kind of moment. And thus, the transformation of life and the change in the name, the one who struggles with God and overcomes. And so Jesus encourages the disciples and the people and us to continue in prayer without ceasing. Prayer beyond our perceiving of the apparent answer or work of God in our life. Because I think that's sometimes a what leads us to stop praying. The perception that I have been praying for, about, over this issue, day and night. I have worn myself out with tears over this issue. I have struggled time and time again, year after year, season after season, losing hope, gaining hope, back and forth, the tide comes and goes over and over. Why do I keep bothering myself with this? Just give it up. step back. Some go so far as to say, you know, if God doesn't answer my prayer in the time that I want it to be answered and exactly the way that I want it to be answered, for me, he just doesn't exist at all anymore. I've just forsaken that outlook on life. And perhaps God is saying, I am here and I am answering your prayer. And your good, your best moment remains in my heart and in my hands. And to that, I am engaging you this way for the mystery and the wonder of whatever it takes for your faith to continue, to be able to look at your situation and say, oh, if or as much as God isn't answering in my time and my way, then perchance I still rest myself in his hands. And maybe, just maybe, there awaits for me something yet that is good beyond my ability to comprehend or perceive or imagine. And I wait for that moment to come. And just perchance, even our death does not see the moment of that prayer being answered. And even yet, even so, God remains glorified in that very moment. Thus, so the martyrs in time, and also our Savior himself. Through death, amazingly, through the death of God's only begotten Son, God is glorified, because that death facilitates the salvation of all mankind, creates the moment in inviting us into relationship with God in this way that looks and lives, you know, beyond all the stuff of life, beyond all the relationships of life, beyond all of our self-perceptions, beyond all of the props that hold us up in ways. And behind all of that, God himself meeting us. And to that effect, we read this morning, all Scripture is God-breathed. All Scripture is the voice, the working of the Holy Spirit. To what effect? Oh, that we might come to it with confidence. Read, explore, extrapolate, construct, understand life in relation with God, quite distinct from life in relation to stuff and the props. We confess in the creed this morning, we believe that he will come to judge the living and the dead. And that's to say, above all else in life, what is of utmost essential importance and significance is this connection with God himself. And that's what Jacob met in the creek. God, who made himself known in the struggle. Oh. So, times passed, long ago, my brother and I used to wrestle. I'm the oldest, I'm the biggest. That meant that wrestling was just a little bit more fun for me than it was for him, I'm sure. You know, But in the back and forth and the struggle was this love, you know, between us. We were tussling and you know, grabbing and pulling all to the point of fatigue and exhaustion. But it was love between us. And I submit that God invites us to wrestle with him just for the love of the tangle and the tussle. Bill and I are better for the wrestling. I'm quite confident you and your Savior will be as well. You will find in struggling in the issues of your heart, your soul, your mind, your life, as you wrestle with God in these things, the bond will be near and dear. And in the wrestling, you will be strengthened in your faith. God will meet us, does meet us in his word, in his sacraments, and strengthen us through this. He invites. He says things like this: "Come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." He says things like, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Ask, seek, knock, and you will find." Oh, those who come to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Friends in Christ, don't give up in your praying. Oh, yes, wrestle with your God. He has chosen to call his people by that very name. Those who struggle, who wrestle with God and overcome. God bless you in your encounter with the living God, who makes himself known to people in the darkest of hours. In Jesus' name, amen.